Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. It avails. Over what? Over what you're praying for. It avails much over what you're praying for. Glory be to God forever. It's a new day. This is a new day when the glory is going to shine from your face. Your face. My face. You'd be like, yeah, you need it, brother. You need some of that shining in your face. I know I do. Hallelujah. Shining now. Hallelujah. It's going to shine brighter and brighter. Not brighter and then dimmer. Brighter and then brighter. The brightness is going to shine from your face. Hallelujah. When Moses came down, he had to put a veil over his face. Ephesians chapter 6, we have been talking about the work of prayer. The work of prayer. Well, brother, I just got out of work. Well, you came to your second job then. This is the one that pays the most. This one pays eternal dividends. Eternal dividends. You could work for a company and they give you dividends. And be like, give me eternal dividends. Those can go up and down with the stock market. But these dividends I get are not, they just keep going. They don't end. They're eternal. Whatever you do for the kingdom of God, this is it. Reward now in this life and in the one which is to come. What's better than that? Let's see some stock market give you that. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you 45% interest. And then, in the world that is to come, we'll give you double back what you put in. Yeah, they can't say that. Because they're not God. But who said this? That we have eternal dividends. God said it. Can he say that? Yeah. He's Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. The work of prayer. You there? Ephesians 6:12. We left off here. Hallelujah, last time. You ready for this? You don't want me to just lay it out on the line tonight, do you? You want me to kind of just, because you've been working all day, and, you know, you just want to have a nice little love sermon. No. I'm going to throw raw meat at you. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. We are here right here, right tonight. We thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you that you are here and you're moving right now. We receive you, Holy Spirit. We receive you as the teacher. I receive you as the teacher. You are lifted up in this place. You are God in the earth today. I worship you. I thank you, Holy Ghost. You're so wonderful. You make me happy. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me ask you a question. Why are we wrestling against them? Jesus defeated them. He took away their power, took away their authority. Why are we wrestling against them? Because they don't want to get off their high and lifted up throne that they've been on for thousands of years. And they'll just continue to sit there until somebody takes some authority and knocks them off of there and then keeps them off of there by putting their foot on their neck. That's just the way they are. They're unjust. And we talked about this last week, the unjust judge. And the woman had to go back to this unjust judge with the unjust judgment and put her down or put him down. Put the unjust judge down and demand that the rights were given. If she didn't do that, would it have happened? That's why the church just goes year after year after year with the devil bugging them all the time. Because they don't put him down. They're the ones that have to do it. Remember, Paul had to do that. If he didn't walk in the grace, the revelation of grace that God gave him, he would still be beaten up from town to town. So who's doing the wrestling? It says God wrestles against princes. No, God doesn't wrestle against them. We wrestle against them. Do we win? Yes, we do. Are you going to wrestle against an opponent that you can't win against? They're going to put you in the ring with somebody that you can handle. And I found that to be true every time. Every time. Everybody say every time. Every time I'm praying in the Spirit and all of a sudden something comes up and it feels like I got to wrestle against it, I know I win. He gives me something I can handle. You're in the ring, you're in a certain weight limit. You understand that in wrestling? The point is they match you up. You got, what do you got? The different weights? What are those? Bantamweight, lightweight, heavyweight, superweight. They match them up. God's not going to put you into the ring with something that you can't handle. But what's going to happen after you handle that one? You're going to get another one. And you're going to get better at it. And you're going to learn the moves. Learn how to grab them behind the leg and flip it up over their head. I've watched some of these wrestling matches. And if you don't know wrestling, you don't know the moves, don't wrestle them. I don't care how big they are. You might think, you know, some little guy comes up and, oh, I could take him because I got sheer strength. It 2 seconds, you're laying on your back going, uncle. And you wonder why. Because he had the moves. He knew how to take your head and your weight and use it against you. We can learn how to do that with the devil. We can wrestle against him and take his weight, his what he thinks is authority, and use it against him and put him down. You guys here? Hallelujah. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that in the evil day, and having done all to stand, to stand. What do you do after you win your wrestling match? You stand up, and the guy goes, yeah, you win. He lifts your hand up. That's it. Next opponent. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always. Where does this happen? Where are we wrestling? Where are we doing this? Where are you wearing your armor? Just on the street, brother. I like to clink down the road with my sword and a sheath clinking around because I'm tough. In prayer, this is where you're wrestling against these things. We understand this is what we're wrestling against, right? Are we wrestling God? No. In the name of God, we are wrestling these, making them come into submission to us. To the will of God. What would the sword of the Spirit be for? To poke God with? You told me I was healed. You told me I was healed. No. It's to take that sword and wrestle this thing into submission. Whether it's a sickness, whether it's poverty, whether it's a principality and power over a certain area. Right? And I'm telling you, I've been here before. Do you know it or not? I've been here before, and I know when God's starting to give us projects. And I'm happy about it. It's like this, you know, you see some of these guys, you ask them, well, do you want to go back to the combat field? You would think, you know, you're off for 3 weeks. You're off for 3 weeks from the combat field. And you ask them, and they go, no, I want to go back and be with my buddies. I'll go shoot something. How many times have you, I've heard this. Why is it? Because that's where their life is. They don't want to leave their guys back there. They want to be right in the middle of it. It's exciting. And it gets exciting because you know you win. I'm excited about it. I know we've got some projects, some spiritual projects, and I know that when God gives you something, He intends for you to win, and He knows you can. If you'll just be faithful, you'll be the one, you'll be persistent, you'll be like that woman that was going to the unjust judge and demanding her rights. If you don't give up, you win every time. And I'm excited about it. I hope you guys are. Pays dividends, pays real dividends in the Spirit. Things are going to explode around here because when you get the victory, what do you get? You get the spoil of the victory comes with it. And this is how we're building this church. We're not building it with any programs. I don't think you can put your finger on a program. Do we even have a program? One. No, we don't even have one. This is the program. Spiritual program. We're going to do it God's way. We're going to get this legitimately in the Spirit, and then we'll have the real reward. I'm excited about it. Hallelujah. praying. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Not in the flesh, not in your mind, in the Spirit. That's why we win. These demons don't have a chance in the Spirit. Watching thereunto. Thereunto where? In the Spirit. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Glory be to God. Go over to Colossians 4:12. A couple pages over there. Colossians 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. One of you, a servant of, who are you? Did he not just say that? You're a servant of Christ. He's one of you, a servant of Christ. Salutes you, always laboring fervently for you, where? In prayers. This servant of Christ was always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Who is this person writing to? Who's Paul writing to? Well, he's writing to the church. It couldn't apply to me because it's 2,000 years ago or whatever. The Bible's speaking to you. This man, eternal rewards, remember. You might be praying for somebody, but this prayer goes on. What, did it stop? It was just one of those, you know, 200-year prayers. And then it stopped. No, eternal rewards. Are you guys getting this? Eternal rewards. Here we have Epaphras. You're going to meet him someday. Who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Let me ask you a question. If people looked down through the culmination of times and they saw the Lord Jesus coming and they saw this great bride rising up and they saw the glory of the Lord filling the earth like the waters covered the sea, do you think they prayed about it? Do you think they put a prayer in for that? Have you put a prayer in for that? You think you're going to get rewarded for it? Do you think Epaphras is going to get rewarded for that? He prayed for you. Enoch prophesied about you coming. You're not in this all alone. You kidding me? You got thousands of years of prayers coming up, just buffeting behind you in the back, saying, go on, get them, get them, get them, sick them, sick them. You're not all alone. He always labored fervently. What do you think is that? Is that easy? He was light about it. Oh, Lord, God bless them. That's such sweet people. No, he's like, get them! Go, take, wrestle that thing. Wrestle it down to the ground. And when it kicks, poke him in the eye. Poke him in the eye. Rip out his jugular. Pull his stomach out. He won't bite you after that. Fervently, laboring, fervently. I don't know. I've never had a baby, but it's, I can't imagine it's a lot of fun. I don't see women in there going, ooh, this is great. They have a cappuccino machine around here. Got a crumpet or something. No, they're like, ah! Don't you ever do this to me again. That's why they call it a ward, a maternity ward. Yeah. Right? Because, you know, you got to have some kind of psychosis degree to even walk in there. Not all about the baby. Babies come out whether you got a diploma or not. It's the other things you got to deal with. But the point is laboring fervently. Labor! And after a while, I'm telling you, I've used this illustration before. A deep sea diver, they go down about 40 feet, you know, and you feel like your ear's going to explode and pop. But then, you know, the next day you go down and it's like 45. Pretty soon you get used to that pressure down there and you get addicted to it. You just want more of it. And you're down there and you're like, I got to have more of this pressure. I can't stand it up here with you lightweights. I got to go down where they got 40 feet of water pressing down on my skull. I just like it. And eventually you like the warfare. You like the pressure. You like the bigger guy. Bring him on because I'm going to take him. I'm telling you. You get addicted to it. And then you just don't feel right when there's no pressure anymore. And you got to get back down there. So here's this guy laboring fervently for you in the Spirit, in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What is all the will of God? You've been here, His Word, but it is His glory filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. It is this last generation standing up in the glory of God and not bowing down to anything, putting all of these principalities and powers under their feet, and the last enemy, death, and then, whoo, we're out of here. That takes some serious pressure and some people that really want it. So I say, throw a raw steak out there. If you're hungry enough, you'll be fighting for it and you'll be the one with it. That's right. Hallelujah. I'm excited about it. I can't tell, brother. No, I'm excited about it. I know when God starts giving projects that it means something. It doesn't just mean, oh, well, look at that. We'll just see what you can do. No, it means you're going to get it if you jump on this thing and you don't let go. Hallelujah. Well, we're not letting go. We're like that bulldog. We'll lock our jaw and then we're stuck there till that thing submits. I hope you're ready. Glory be to God forever. This train's chugging away. Jesus is Lord. Praying always. Well, that's just twice a day. No, always. You're always on. Your words are always on. And if you're fasting, the fast is always on. It's always on. Right? Until you stop fasting. But when you pray and your words go and your words are in agreement with that, it's always. You're always on. You're in a warfare. You're not just sometimes on. Well, let's go out and put on our pink shirts and dance up and down the road. No, you might get shot by the enemy. You're on all the time. Sound like your military speak. Yeah, this is what happens. You want to go higher up in the things of God? This is what happens. You start thinking differently. You start acting differently, speaking differently. Why? Because every single thing you do has an effect on your warfare. You can think of the political realm. People, you know, every single word they say, somebody's looking for them. They're looking at them. They're watching them. That's the same. The devil is watching you. He wants to see what you're going to say about that. What are you going to do about it? Most of the time, just ignore him. That's the best thing, because he's trying to get something out of you. Just ignore him. Always laboring fervently. Did you see that? Here's this man. And did you understand his prayers didn't die then? They're having an effect today. Who knows? He could have prayed for you sitting in that chair. You don't know that, do you? The Word says it. The Word has more grounds to that than not. He could have prayed for you. So get on the program. Get on the bus. It's moving out. Hallelujah. John 4:38. If you understood that, you're really going to love this. John 4:38. Frado Marzegla Quintigia. Hallelujah. We're going to get more radical around here, people. Yeah. We're not going to back off. No. We're going to jump on this thing like a chicken on a bug. Right? Yeah, they jump on those things. They don't like them. They're moving around their feet, so they stomp on it until it's gone. That's us. We're the chicken. The devil's the bug. We're going to stomp on him until he's gone. He stops moving. Right? Or he moves somewhere else. Then we'll move over there and kick him some more. Hallelujah. How can you talk like that, brother? Because this is the Word. When you get the fire of God in you and the Word of God, that's who you are. This is the way we do things. This is how we do things. We make sure that these things come to pass, laboring fervently in prayer. This is fervency. This is fervency. Well, aren't you scared? No, he ought to be scared. Who's scared of whom here? Goodness gracious, who's got the weapons? Who's got God's armor? Who's got God's sword? Scared? I don't even think he has a sword. I'm not even sure he has any armor. I think he was stripped. He was stripped of his armor. He was stripped of his power. All he's got is a lie. Right? He's a streaker. And what does that make you do? It makes you laugh. Doesn't make you scared. It makes you laugh. Did you see that? Yes. Not sure I wanted to. Hallelujah. John 4:38. I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. We've entered in. We have, everybody say, we have entered in to their labors. Let's pick up where other people left off and carry it to the next place. That's what the race is, with the baton, right? What if they came up with a relay race and trying to hand you the baton? You go, wait a minute, I got to go back to the beginning. You would lose. You go from that point and go. Why? Because they labored to get that baton to you. We have people that have labored to get us the word of faith. They labored to get us Azusa Street that we can all speak in tongues. Frey bon sklav. We got all this stuff. Let's take that. Let's go to the next level. Let's keep running this thing because somebody has to finish the race. Hallelujah. Who's going to do it? Well, I don't know if you guys can do it. I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks. I really don't. I have a shirt that says that. I should have worn it tonight. It says, I don't care what you think. People don't like that, but it's the truth. I care what God thinks. What God thinks means so much more to me. When you think like God thinks, and I think like, well, then we all think the same way. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor, other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. I'm telling you, there's a labor that other men have brought it this far. They bled and died sometimes to bring it this far. They've labored like Epaphras in the prayers for you that you would stand perfect in all the will of God. There has never been a generation that stood perfect in all the will of God. He labored for it. So we're going to enter into his labors, right? Enter into what he already prayed and then bring it farther. Hallelujah. Where do we do this? Well, we do it mentally, brother. We do it by our programs. Are you kidding me? This is so in a different realm. This is in a realm that can't be shaken. This is in the realm that shakes other things. Want to make people nervous? Yes. It's in the spirit. It'll make people nervous. It'll make communities nervous. We're not messing around here with our tinker toys anymore, building little church buildings. Hallelujah. We're messing around with the Spirit, the glory of God. When he shows up, watch out. I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labors. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Fredon sklebreheche. Hallelujah. 15:24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy. But look up here, verse 24. When then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom. He's going to deliver up something. The kingdom. What are we here to preach? We're preaching the kingdom. This is the kingdom of God manifest on earth till the ends of the earth. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world, and then shall the end, and then shall the end come. Well, what's the preaching of the gospel for us? To establish the gospel of the kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. This is God's perfect will concerning you. This is his perfect will. This is what they labored for to get to pass. And this is what Epaphras was praying. He labored fervently for you in the spirit to bring this to pass, that you would stand in all the will of God. This is the will of God. Then Jesus is going to deliver up the kingdom. Do we know that? This is what's going on. The kingdom has to be established, and he's going to deliver it up. Look what he says next. Hallelujah. delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. When is he going to deliver up this kingdom? When he has put down all rule, authority, and power. Who? Well, the Lord, when he returns, he'll just do it magically in the twinkling of an eye. He'll just put down all authority and power and deliver up the kingdom. It'll be that fast. Really? And what are we doing here then? What was Epaphras laboring for? That you could stand in all the will of God. I'm telling you, you won't stand in all the will of God unless you put down all principalities, powers, rulers, and authority under your feet. Then you're delivered up the kingdom. That is the kingdom. That's how you walk in the kingdom, is by putting these things under your feet. Does that make sense? Did I jump too fast there? Hallelujah. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he has put down all rule and all authority and all power. Do you understand? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power. What are we wrestling against? To put them down. What do you wrestle for? To lift them up? Each of you trying like a sumo wrestler to lift the other one up? No, the object is to put it down. You're wrestling against the principality and power to put it down and then to hold it down. Am I making this up? Is this just weird? No. This is what's going on. When we pray in the Spirit, when we're wrestling and God gives you a project, your project is to take that thing and put it down. And when it's down, the kingdom is lifted up. What's the last enemy going to be put down? Is death, which means all the other enemies have to be put down. He's not coming back until the last one is put down. People are waiting for him. Well, we've just got to hide in the cave until the day and the time when the sound comes with the trumpet and our cave shakes and the door opens up and we finally see the Lord rescuing us from our misery and stinkiness. Can you imagine all these people in a cave for months? Goodness, that's not a glorious church. Feel like God would come and roll a bigger rock in front of it. I'm not marrying that. You're going to marry a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. A wrinkly bride? No. A stinky, wrinkly, cave-dwelling bride? I must go and rescue my cave-dwelling church, my bride. Yeah, he's going to come in and drag her out by the hair then. Drag her back to heaven. Goodness gracious. Kings marry princesses. They don't marry cave dwellers. We got a bunch of churches dwelling in the cave because they're scared. They're scared of the warfare. They're scared of the fight. What about David? He had the whole army of Israel. Ooh, here's the big guy, gigantic giant. What are we going to do? David's like, what do I get if I poke a rock right in his forehead? What do you get? I get the king's daughter? She's pretty. You got a picture? And he went after it. He said, I'm not going to sit here and tolerate this stupid garbage. Well, we're not going to tolerate it either. Let's take these things. They're up for grabs. You see a thing where nobody else is taking it? Goodness. Let's just take it. Isn't that what Joshua and Caleb said? Everybody else came back. No, those kingdoms are too great. The Anakim live there. Anishmana. I don't care. That's what Joshua and Caleb said. We're going to take it. We'll take that. That's my mountain. I want that mountain. That one over there. Give it to me. That's faith. They were honored in the faith chapter of our Bible. Glory be to God. You want to be there? They labored to get you this far. There's been prayers already prayed to get somebody this far. And if everybody else is going to stand around on their hands, we're not. We're going to take it. We're going to take it in the Spirit the right way. Not just, you know, in publicity or on billboards or any of this other stuff. Let that come. Let that stuff follow us. Yeah. We're going in the Spirit first, and that's where you take these things. And you grab it by the neck and you put it down. And then the kingdom of God is lifted up. You put the devil down. God's kingdom is lifted up. Down is bad for the devil. Up is good. Right? Glory be to God forever. Romans 8, 17. I hope you're ready for this.
You mean there's more?
Oh, yeah. I never heard anything like this before, I know. But I don't care. Hallelujah. Remember my t-shirt? I don't care. I do. I mean, I care about you. But when it comes to following God, that's what happens. There's got to be, you got to care about something. People don't care for something, don't care about anything. We care about His Word and fulfilling His kingdom. And if people have bled and died and prayed fervently, labored fervently for you in the Spirit for years, are you going to sit there and let that go to waste? Absolutely not. We have Christians all over the place. They say, yes, the Lord Jesus, He died for my sins. And yet they'll go and live in sin. They'll give lip service to, the Lord Jesus, you know, His stripes, by His stripes you're healed. They'll give lip service and they'll live in sickness. We can't do that. Those are things that need to be put down and the kingdom of God lifted up. If you're going to be the beautiful bride. You know, I'm not big into the whole bride thing. Some of you here know that. But if this is what God says, that's what we're going to be. Wants to call me a bride? Here I am. Hallelujah. Hope I don't have to wear one of those white dresses. Goodness gracious. It's a robe. Thank you. That I can handle. It's like a graduation thing, right? I'm there. But graduation doesn't come until you pay the price. And we're going to pay the price to put this down. If God gives us a project in the Spirit, we're going to take it. No, thank you. I don't want that. Are you kidding me? And His people have done this for generations, for years. He'll give them something. Catherine Kuhlman said God came to five men. People ask her, why did God come and pick a woman to do this job? She said, God went to five preachers before her with this anointing, and they didn't want anything to do with it. She said, well, I guess So she just went along with it. He's looking for somebody who's hungry enough to just take it and go. And He'll pass over people, I'm telling you. There's no limit for you. You limit God. You can have whatever God's got for you and some others. What do you think's happening with all those gifts that were left there dormant, laying on the ground? Pick up a couple of them. It's like spoil town around here. What did they do when they went into an army camp? They went in and they took as much as they could and loaded it on the camels. And they took it back home. And what did they do? They went back for more. Hallelujah. Right? Plenty of stuff out there for everybody. Glory be to God. Let's get some of it. But let's get it the right way. I'm telling you, the way is in the Spirit, laboring fervently. We enter into their labors, the same labor. We enter into it. It's there. Hallelujah. It's like somebody pulling on a rope. So you come up behind me and start pulling on that rope. We got a lot more force. Did their prayer die? Did it? Or was it eternal? Is it an eternal reward? So we've still got all those guys pulling on that rope. We can grab on the same rope and pull on it. Glory to God. We got a rope with like hundreds of thousands of people pulling on it. And even more religious Christians looking at it. Wondering why it's moving. Look at that rope there. I'm not touching that thing. Heaven knows if you touch that rope, you get weird. Yeah. That's right. Too bad. We're tying ourselves to it. Glory be to God. Wrap it right around your forehead. That way you can see it and it doesn't get away from you. This is too good to not be true. This is too good to not be true. This is what God does. God is good. And this is good. He's prepared the way for you to grab onto something that's truly awesome and glorious. Hallelujah. You should thank God every day you're born in such a time as this. This is wonderful. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Did I tell you to turn? Yes, I did. Romans 8:17. I really hope you're ready for this. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be what? Glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then he goes on to describe what it is. Okay, don't stop there. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature or creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Every molecule on this planet is watching you. It's waiting for you to subdue this evil bondage and put it under your feet. It will be delivered. Creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. How? By the manifestation of the sons of God. You believe, let's say you got an orchard, right? An orchard of, let's say, apple trees. You got Mr. Sinner across the road. He plucks his trees and tries to sell it for money to, I don't know, do something, whatever he does. But you're a righteous man, believe in God for increase, even in a time of drought. And this orchard loves it. And you've subdued the enemies of debt. You've subdued the enemies of sin and all of these other things. And you stomp around your orchard and you tell it to increase and multiply. That orchard loves it. The ground loves it. Everything in this earth was designed to function just like it did in the Garden of Eden. And it's been subjected to this corruption for years and years and years and years. It hates it. It hates it. But when you begin to manifest as a son of God, everything starts to go in your direction. And it loves it. The trees clap their hand, Isaiah says. Yeah, yeah, go. Everything, the air, the creation, the creature, the creation, everything, the ground you walk on. Are we not supposed to have dominion over the ground, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every creepy thing that creeps upon the face of the earth? It's waiting. It's watching. Now, if creation is waiting and watching, and Epaphras prayed that you would stand perfect in all the will of God, this was his prayer, and we enter into his labors, is this not the perfect will of God to walk and manifest as the sons of God on this earth, putting all enemies down and lifting the kingdom of heaven up? We do this. This is what we're doing. We're doing it in the Spirit. We're doing it. We are doing it. And we're not going to fail. We will not fail. You can't tell me we're going to fail because we're saying it and we're believing it and we're going to have it. It's as simple as that. Jesus said you'd have whatever you say. I'm saying we're not going to fail. We're going to take up where Epaphras left off. We're going to take this baton and we're not going to fail. We're going to put these enemies under our feet and we're going to lift the kingdom of God up and we will be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. I was almost preaching there for a minute. Hallelujah. All creation. Verse 19 again, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21, because the creature itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into what? The glorious liberty of the children of God. You should be walking in a glorious liberty. And then all creation's watching you saying, set me free too. Set me free too. I want to be free like you because you're walking in this glorious liberty. And it's up to you to set them free. Glory be to God forever. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Likewise. What does likewise mean? In the same way, the Spirit helps our infirmities. Our infirmities of what? Not walking manifest as a son of God. The Spirit is going to help you. Epaphras prayed this. How do you think he prayed for you? In the Spirit, in other tongues. Mostly, muchly. And when you enter into their labors, you're entering in the same type of prayer, grabbing onto the same thing. Likewise, the Spirit is helping your infirmities so that you can pray for the same thing, so that all things can be put under your feet, so that you can manifest as a son of God. Right? Well, there's no value to praying in tongues. Get out of this church. How about that? Tell me that. Glory be to God. When you see the value behind these things, you will let no one take it away from you. If you do, then you're just like everybody else, just sitting there waiting. You know, just take it. I'll even turn my back. Hold fast to the faith that was delivered to the saints. This is what was delivered to the saints, and we're going to hold on to it like a bulldog. And we're going to pray the same thing. We're going to have the result. We're going to have manifestation of the sons of God on the earth. Right? That's what we're doing. Jesus is Lord. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings, laborings, strivings, which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. All things? You mean the dirt? You mean the trees? This is likewise, it's the same thing. He's saying all things all of a sudden, because you're entering into this same prayer, into these same laborers, all things are going to work together for good. For who? For you. You're manifesting as a son of God. That's the way it is, people. We either get to do it, or you can just sit and watch other people do it. I'm tired of sitting watching anybody else do it. I could care less. We're going to do it. We're going to have it. God's given us the right, the authority, and the ability to do it. We're going to have it. It's as simple as that. We're going to have it. Let other people sit there and criticize us. I welcome that. I happen to like it personally. I don't sleep well at night unless people are criticizing me, because I like the pressure. Okay? You get used to it. I get uncomfortable when I don't have a little bit of pressure. I'm like, it's too easy. What's going on here? Right? This is the kind of church you're in. Get used to it. We're going to push this thing. Hallelujah. Did you see this in the Word? Am I making this stuff up? Got time for maybe one or two more here. Judges 16:20. Lid, I don't think you can do that in Maine. Get out of here. Jesus said it to Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. That's the way it's going to be. Get out of here. Remember when all the disciples, he said, you know, they couldn't handle him talking about eating his flesh and blood. Drinking his blood. And he said, we can't handle that. We got to go home now. And the disciples said the same thing. And he turned around to the disciples and he said, well, where are you, you know, you going to go too? He didn't say, oh, please don't go. I didn't mean, I'll explain it later. He said, what, you going to go too? Better wear a coat. Gets cold at night. Don't let the door hit you in the rear on the way out. That's right. Hallelujah. I hope you like living in a cave. One way or the other, people, and this line's getting, it's getting farther and farther apart. The difference is going to get farther and farther apart in the church. They're either going to go farther and farther into the cave, or they are going to do what we're doing here. They're going to pick up that prayer. They're going to hold on to that rope and start pulling. He that gathers not with me scatters. Hallelujah. Let them scatter. Just know you're on the right trail. I learned that years ago. When you see hundreds of people going one direction, just go the other way. 99.9% of the time, you're going to be right on. Hallelujah. Did I tell you where to go yet? Judges 16, verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, the Philistines. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. Everybody says, shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Obviously, this is not the good time in Samson's life, because he'd been sleeping in the wrong places, right? He'd been messing around with things he shouldn't have, and it ended up biting him right here. She cut his hair off, right? But I find it curious, and I get a lot of benefit out of reading this scripture, because it says, I will go out as times before and shake myself. So he had something to do with that power coming on him. He went out and shook himself. He knew there was something to do that he could do and access that power when he needed it. What do we do that accesses the power when we need it? And you can do it anytime you want. Pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Anytime you want. Phrase and bella calistian prow. Anytime you want, you can do it. Anytime you want, you can shake yourself. You can stir up that gift, and I've preached on this. When does the power come on you? After you begin to speak. Comes on after, so you shake yourself. You can do this. You know this. If you spend any time at all praying in tongues, you know you pray for 10, 15 minutes or whatever it takes you to shake yourself. Pretty soon you're in the Spirit. One level to another. Is this not true? Hallelujah. So here Samson said, I'm going to go out and shake myself. Unfortunately, he didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. That's how dense he was. He got more dense and more dense the farther he got into carnality and other stuff. We're not going to be there. We're going to be ready. We're going to have our tanks full, our oil cans full of wine and oil. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay clean. We're going to be really aware of what the Holy Ghost says. And when he says, shake yourself and pray, we're going to shake and pray. Shake? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm Pentecostal. We shake. Glory be to God forever. 2 Timothy 1:6, I am almost done. Hallelujah. Thank you for bearing with me here. Glory be to God forever. This is prayer school. I believe that, you know, if we're going to pray in faith, you got more faith now to believe for this stuff than you had when you came in here. I can tell you that. Why? Because the Word of God goes into you. Now you can pray specifically for something, can't you? You know what rope to grab onto. And you know which way to pull on it now. You got other Christians pulling the wrong way towards the cave. Pull the rope towards the cave. You have people prophesying this garbage.
Better stock up, brother. You got to have 3 months' supply of water.
They are. I've read them. They did this. This happened quite a while. Do you remember that back? Hal Lindsey was around for a while there. Was it 80s? Probably the 80s. And he wasn't doing it, but there was a whole bunch of prophets out there saying the same thing. It's going to get so bad. It's going to get so bad. Yeah, it is going to get bad for people that are not paying the price and living in the glory. But the glorious church is the one who's putting these things under their feet. And they learn how to live in victory. Your faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Not runs from the world into a cave. What Bible do they read out of to get this stuff? Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:6, hallelujah. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Stir up the gift of God. He's telling him to stir up the gift. Brother, stir up the gift of God. Yes, you do it. Stir it up. Pray in the Spirit. Pray more in the Spirit. Stir it up. Get that thing stirred up. And then you have power, love, and a sound mind. God will fix your head. He fixes my head. Glory be to God. I don't have those weird thoughts anymore. It can't get in there. It's so full of God. Brother, what am I going to do about my mind? My mind is bothering me. Praying tongues. And then it's still bothering me. Praying tongues some more. Get the word in there. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Hallelujah. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Stir yourself up, not down. Stir yourself down. Because it's going to be cold and dark in that cave. Shut up. Not going in a cave. We're going over, not under. Up, not down. Hallelujah. What's going to happen to those people that are on the cave when the rapture, they say, comes? They're all going to be funk up on top of the cave. Trying to be lifted up, but I'm in a cave and I'm stuck. That would be the stalactite church. Exactly. Now we have a new term. They're the stalactites. Hallelujah. The Left Behind series. That's right. Glory be to God. It was all the people in the cave. They couldn't get out. Everybody's going up. The door's closed. Brother. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Stir up the gift of God. Who's doing the stirring? We are? No, it must be the sovereignty of God. I prayed in tongues once in the 60s when the Spirit of the Lord stirred me up and I said, and I never did again. Because you aren't obeying the Bible. You stir it up. You stir it up. Stir it up. Stir up the gift of God. You can do it anytime you want. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. How did Peter stir him up? He stirred him up by putting him in remembrance. Actually, that's what Paul said to Timothy. I'm going to stir you up. Remember. Remember Epaphras, people. Remember, we've got all these people that have already prayed in the Spirit the same way that you pray. Probably the same languages. I know it's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. We're taking up where they left off. And they prayed that we would stand in all the will of God. And we're going to do it. And we're not going to let hold of this. Don't let go of the rope. What happens if, you know, you're in this tug of war and three-fourths of the people let go of the rope? Dig in your feet, exactly. We're still never going to give up. Right? But if we can pull on this same rope together, we've got something. I can pray in the Spirit, and you can pray in the Spirit. We'll all pray in the Spirit. We're going to have something here. This rope will get moving. We're going to have some victory. Everybody say victory.
Victory.
Over all the powers of the enemy. Glory be to God forever. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for the opportunity to be alive in this day and hour. Thank you for putting all enemies under our feet. We grab a hold of the things that Epaphras prayed for us and all the other saints, that we would stand in all the will of God, and we will stand in all the will of God, and you will see us as a glorious church, a bride without spot or wrinkle, and you can come when you're ready, and we'll put that last enemy underfoot, which is death. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Father, amen.
Shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from Him?
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.